Greg Kelly Show.
We can do this. We can do it. Donald Trump is speaking. He just got out of court. You know, he won big time. I want to hear this. Let's put it up.
He was Hillary Clinton's lawyer, or Democrat National Committee's lawyer. He worked in Paul Weiss. He walked in and he took over the district attorney's office. Nobody's ever seen anything like that, to prosecute Trump. And then they wouldn't do what he wanted to do, and he goes out and he writes a book long before any decisions were made. He writes a book about it. And the book gets published, and everybody's reading his book. And the judge said, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you look at Bragg, Bragg had a fit over that. Bragg said, this trial is now dead. We can't do the trial. Well, that was one of the problems, and the judge should have allowed that to happen. And you had other instances, like Colangelo. Colangelo is a radical left from the DOJ who was put into the state working with Letitia James, and then was put into the district attorney's office to run the trial against Trump. And that was done by Biden and his thugs also, because they can't win an election because of the borders, because of energy prices, because of inflation, because of Afghanistan, the worst and most embarrassing day in the history of our country. He can't win because of Russia, because of all the problems, because of Ukraine being attacked by Russia. And he can't win because of the October 7th attack of Israel, which he should have never allowed to happen, would have never happened if I were president. Ukraine would have never been attacked if I was president. And you wouldn't have inflation if I was president. We didn't have inflation. So all of these things, so what they do is they do election interference, which is court cases, and let's try and tie him up, and let's take as much of his money as possible. I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoron. He ought to be looked at, seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's the one. He's a fraudulent valuator, where he values Mar-a-Lago at $18 million, and people say it's worth 50 to 100 times that much, the biggest experts in the business. So he ought to be looked at, and James ought to be looked at, because she tried to get him. She's like the puppet master of the judge. And, you know, our state, this state, is losing tremendous prestige. It's losing its companies. It's losing its people. They're fleeing, and violent crime is flourishing. And we can't have that. We can't have that. No city should have that. And it's happening in other cities, but not with the lawfare. The lawfare that they're doing is incredible. So they could have done this in the case of the trial that we just left, one of the many that are going. Every single one of them is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they think they can get elected. And I think so far it's backfiring, because the people of this country understand it. It's backfiring. But they're being run, and they're running all of these different cases. So ridiculous, the cases. Every one of them is ridiculous. You take a look at any one of them, and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Not allowed to do that. They raided my house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. No notice, no nothing. They raided it. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. And we'll see how that all works out in the end. But it's illegal what they're doing. It's criminal what they're doing. And it's never been done before in this country. You can't have an election in the middle of a political season. We just had Super Tuesday, and we had a Tuesday after a Tuesday already. And we had Louisiana the other day, a couple of days ago, and we won in a record number, the highest number ever recorded. But we're in the middle of an election right now, and we're fighting crooked Joe Biden, who's the worst president in the history of our country by far, who's let this country go to hell. The borders, millions and millions of people coming in from prisons, from mental institutions. They're terrorists. Many people coming in from prisons and mental institutions. Think of it. And terrorists are coming into our country. And this guy's just letting them come in by the millions. I think we have 15 million people already.
We are going to continue monitoring the
remarks. Oh, shut up, CNN. I knew it. I knew they'd dump out. Oh, so we can listen to what, Caitlin Collins and you fake news frauds? Where the hell is it? Where is it? Where is it? I'll get it on my phone. I'll get it on my phone. They're censoring him. They are censoring him. Damn it. I knew it. Those lowlifes here, everybody. You know, I'm going to make do. It's going to sound a little scratchy, but what can you do?
This thing would have been over 2 years ago. They could have started. They should have never started because there's no case. If you read Andy McCarthy's piece, if you read Jonathan Turley's piece, if you read legal scholars all over the world, they say this DA case is a hoax and it's something that should...
All right, we got a better version of it. Pump it up.
So I just say it's a sad day for this country when you have something like this. And remember the words, should have been started 3 years ago if they were going to start it at all. And then you wouldn't be quibbling over what week it's going to end. Days. They're quibbling over days and hours. They wouldn't be quibbling at all. They never started it. And you know why they didn't start it? Because they didn't know I'd be running. And they didn't know how well I'd do. And if I were not running or if I were doing poorly like everyone else has done, because they're all gone, they're all knocked out except for crooked Joe Biden. If I were doing poorly, this wouldn't be happening. None of these trials would have been happening. If I wasn't running, they wouldn't be happening. So it's a sad day in our country in many respects. But the good day is that the appellate division was fair. It's a lot of money still, but the judge is corrupt, in my opinion. He's the most overturned judge. He's been overturned 5 times in this case alone. He ruled against me before he even knew anything about the case. He ruled against me. The whole case was all about damages, and there were no damages. And perhaps you'll get him to tell you about what took place in terms of a settlement negotiation, because those weren't the numbers he was discussing. Those weren't the numbers. It's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And we have to get our country back, and we're going to get our country back. That's what's going to happen. November 5th, I believe, will be the most important day in the history of our country. We'll get these people out of there, and we'll seal up the borders, and we'll, as I say, drill, baby, drill. We'll be drilling. We'll get energy costs down. We'll get rid of the ridiculous electric car mandate so nobody's ever heard of anything so foolish and so stupid. And we'll bring crime back to law and order. We're going to get those words, law and order, back, because our cities are a disaster. Greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and we will abide by that. We'll put up cash or bond very quickly, securities, cash or bond, whatever it is. We'll put it very quickly, and we'll win the case. Todd, maybe I'll have Todd say a couple of words, and then I'll have... any questions or anything you want to ask. Okay, Todd, wherever you may be, please.
Thank you, President Trump. So, as we said in court today, we very much believe that starting this trial in April, or even starting this trial at any point before the election, is completely unfair to President Trump. It's completely unfair to the American people who are evaluating who they want to be the next president. And we are going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to do everything that we can to defend President Trump in that courtroom. And like we said today, we believe that we have a tremendous amount of information now in our hands to help us do that. And in any event, we certainly feel as if the date that Judge Mershon held today, April 15th, is not a date we should go to trial, and we're going to continue to fight.
And if you read the Andy McCarthy article, or Jonathan Turley, or many of the legals, I think almost every single one of them, that's not even a crime. We're being tried for something that's not even a crime. They say at most it's a misdemeanor, but there's no misdemeanor either. So we have violent criminals that are murdering people, killing people. We have drug dealers all over the place, and they go free and they can do whatever they want. But they go after Trump where there's not even a crime. And did you see the number of people were there? You had Colangelo, and behind him, and remember this, Colangelo was a DOJ guy. He's a Biden DOJ guy. Why is he in the Manhattan DA's office trying the case? That in itself is a conflict. He's in the Manhattan DA's office trying the case. I mean, that's called a conflict. And then remember what I told you also, Mark Pomerantz, when Bragg heard about it, he went openly hostile. He said, that's one of the worst things I've heard. And you all covered that. Then all of a sudden, time goes by. You know, the great healer is time. Time goes by, and all of a sudden, they forget that. But that's a terrible thing. Colangelo and Pomerantz, terrible thing. And the judge didn't want to rule on that. He said everything was fine, that what they did was fine. I don't think it's fine when they take a Hillary Clinton lawyer and put him in to prosecute me. I don't think that's fine. I think it's very bad. And he does it on the House.
Yeah.
He does it without fee. I don't want any fee. I don't want any fee. Our country has gone down a long way. Cliff, would you like to say something?
Just simply, we're gratified by the Appellate Division's decision today, which shows that there still is a rule of law in New York and that the Appellate Division is following it. Thank you, sir.
Okay. So,
do you think you get an acquittal in this trial? Well, I shouldn't have a trial. This is not a trial. This is not an act of criminality.
But you are having one. So do you?
I don't know if we're having one. We're going to be appealing right now. I can tell you that. We did nothing wrong, just like I did nothing wrong in the other case. My statements, my financial statements, were conservative. They were low, not high. I mean, he valued Mar-a-Lago at a tiny fraction of what it is. He's the fraud. He created a fraud in order to help his narrative and her narrative. Because he does whatever she wants. And the judge is really, what he's done is fraudulent. He made Mar-a-Lago, you know it very well, Maggie. He made Mar-a-Lago into $18 million. I had many offers. They said, I'll give you 19. Okay? You could take the half of the living room is worth more than that. So it's worth anywhere from 50 to 100 times that amount. And he stays with it. So he's either whacked out or dishonest, one or the other. Or both, probably both. But he's a disgrace to the system. And I think that New York State was helped a lot today by the decision. I'll give you an example. Truth Social is doing very well. It's hot as a pistol and doing great. And it's going public. And the New York Stock Exchange wants to have us badly. And I told them, we can't do the New York Stock Exchange. You're treated too badly in New York. We don't want to do the New York Stock Exchange. And the people at the Stock Exchange are very, very upset about it. The top person is mortified, can't believe it. He said, I'm losing business because of New York, because people don't want to be in New York and they don't want to go into the New York Stock Exchange. So you can ask them about it. But, you know, how can you do that? I'd love to go in the New York Stock Exchange. It was always, you know, it would be a big thing to go in the New York Stock Exchange. That'd be nice. But people aren't going in the New York Stock Exchange now because of what's happening in New York, because they don't want to be attacked by a thug like this horrible attorney general that we have in New York, the worst in the whole country. So we'll decide about Truth Social and what we do with it. But there's just an example of how this is hurting New York and New York State. Yeah.
Mr. President, can you give us a little bit more detail about the timing of when you plan to secure the bond and how exactly you're planning to pay the bond?
Well, as I say, I have a lot of cash. You know I do because you looked at my statements. I mean, you've been examining my statements for a long time. And I have much more than that in cash. But I would also like to be able to use some of my cash to get elected. They don't want me to use my cash to get elected. They don't want that. They don't want me taking cash out to use it for the campaign. And they looked at it, and this judge looked at it, and he's part of the whole deal. And, well, he's such a disgrace for this city. Again, the most overturned judge. There's never been that we can find a case where a judge has been overturned now five times. It was four times. Now it's five times. Been overturned. But I have a lot of cash and a great company. I mean, to think they want to go after a company. This is a great company, a company that's doing very well. I've got very low debt on buildings like this building. I have very low debt on this building. Most buildings, I have no debt. Most clubs, I have no debt. Look at my greatest assets. I have no debt. I didn't even include like brand value. And the brand value is I became president because of the brand, let's say. But the brand value is, it's one of the most valuable brand values. So I think it's, I wouldn't swap it for any other brand in the world, Trump. I don't even put anything down for it. I had very conservative statements. And the way they made them look bad is by valuing Mar-a-Lago at $18 million instead of what the real value is, which was at least 50 to maybe 100 times more. Think of that. This is the fraud. They're creating a fraud and they're hurting the state so badly.
Yep. Absolutely, he's on fire. Bless that man. We'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.
Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month. If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This could be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Is the Greg Kelly Show.
All right. Hey, President Trump is still speaking, and he's doing it, guess what? Without any note cards. Without any note cards. He just wrapped up. That was so good. So he's right. He's innocent. He's being hounded. But somehow through it all, he's winning. He's winning this race against Biden. He's winning these battles against vicious, over-the-top prosecutors. He is winning, and it is an amazing thing to behold. He just spoke at 40 Wall Street. He's still speaking. He got out of the building. He's still speaking. Man, that guy can talk. He is amazing. It is just amazing. Good for him. He's waving to the crowds. The crowds are cheering him on in New York. By the way, New York is in play. He could win this state. He could win. I used to live upstate New York, you know. I lived in a place called Broome County. That is about as rural as, anything in Montana, all right? There's not much up there. Well, there are, hospitals, and it's a good community, and they had plenty of infrastructure. I mean, it's not like wasteland, but hell, they've been suffering up there for a long time, the southern tier and more, and they don't like Biden. New York City, more and more, you heard about that there's going to be a rally in the Bronx? There may be a rally in the Bronx, and that would be fantastic. There are so many people who have had enough of this crap. And, not only is this, you got to remember, I used to think, I was naive. I was looking at these cases. I knew the cases were totally bogus, but I'd spend a hell of a lot of time, and I guess you got to do some of this, proving that they were totally bogus, that they were totally phony. And, oh boy, are they. And I could do that very effectively by going through the details, the accusations, how they didn't add up to anything. And that was actually kind of fun. And I'm like, he's going to win. But I forgot that there's a big other component, several components actually, to the Biden strategy here. By accusing him and hauling him into court, number one, you know what they do? They dirty him up. All right? They make him appear guilty. A lot of independents out there, I don't know about this. He's always on the news for something bad. Right? So they dirty him up. They tie him up. Take him off the campaign trail. He's got to meet with these lawyers. He doesn't technically have to be at these hearings. Well, if your ass is on the line in four different proceedings, actually make that six different proceedings, it's going to have an impact. I don't care how rich you are. You got to meet with these lawyers. You got to strategize the discovery process. The discovery, you know what discovery is? When you get sued, your adversaries have a right to go through your stuff. I mean, they can go through your email. They can go through your phone records. Discovery. That's a huge burden. And you know what else they tried to do? They tried to rough him up. They try to rough him up. The arrest, will he be wearing handcuffs, the mugshot, right? That's roughing somebody up. That is thuggish behavior on the part of the government. And Mark Pomerantz, wherever you are, boy, does he have your number. And so do I, you corrupt, dirty fool. Mark Pomerantz, goes around scaring people because it makes you feel tough. You're not a tough guy. You're going down, pal.
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Hey, this ruling is, there's more to it, and it's better than I thought. Once again, Donald Trump doesn't have to come up with a $500 million that was such a ludicrous, designed to hurt him politically, designed to embarrass him, designed to do all kinds of things, and totally unmanageable. Billionaires just don't have that kind of money laying around the house. However, $175 million, he can live with that. That's how much money he's got, and he's going to turn it over. He should be able to spend it on a campaign, though, you know? He spent over $100 million on the 2016 campaign, but here's something else in this thing. From the New York Appeals Court. Which one is this, by the way? All right. I'm going to go through it. Blah, 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 blah. A lot of words. All right. Here's the critical part. It is ordered that the motion is granted to the extent of staying enforcement of these portions of the judgment. All right. So Engoron, you know, ruled against him. Got to pay this fine. You can't get new loans from any banks. Weisselberg, you're barred from the financial industry and the real estate industry for X amount of years. All of that stuff is stayed. They put it off to the side. It's not, you cannot enforce it. They're going to review it. And what is it? What are the things that are stayed? Ordering this disgorgement to the Attorney General of $464 million, conditioned on defendant's appellants posting within 10 days of the date of this order, an undertaking that is in the amount of $175 million. All right, number one, that's a convoluted, fancy way of saying it was cut down to $175 million from $464, a major, major win. But also, this has been stayed, permanently barring the defendants Weisselberg and McConney from serving in the financial control function of any New York corporation or similar business entity. Weisselberg, who's been in and out of Rikers Island for a couple of years now, an innocent man, and they just slapped him in the face. Well, you can't actually even work anymore. And the same goes for this guy, McConney. I'm not too familiar with him. He's a regular guy from New Jersey, I believe, who was slapped around, tortured by this process. This is a total rebuke of Engoron and Letitia James. Number three, what else was stayed? What else can't they enforce? They can't bar Donald J. Trump, Weisselberg, and McConney from serving as an officer or director of any New York corporation for 3 years. That was part of the penalty. They can't do it. They cannot bar defendant Donald J. Trump and the corporate defendants from applying for loans from New York financial institutions for 3 years. That's what they wanted. By the way, that was kind of crazy too. 3 years. $464 million. You're out of business for 3 years. It was, what's the word? Discordant. One did not go with the other. Barring defendants Donald J. Trump and Eric Trump from serving as an officer or director of any New York corporation in New York for 2 years. Wow, this is great stuff. This is great stuff. Congratulations. Congratulations to these guys. They deserve it. They totally, totally, totally deserve it. Things are looking up. Now, remember, though, like I said, it's not over. And the effect of this stuff is still, well, it's leaving a mark. It wasn't just the idea that they could throw him in jail or get him knocked off the ballot. They wanted to scare us, too. Stormy Daniels, ooh, a porn star. I've never heard of such a thing. Oh, my God, we're going to turn our backs on Trump. I can't believe he actually met a porn star. Oh, that's what they thought we would do. That's what they take us for, a bunch of puritanical chumps. Well, it doesn't work that way, okay? And, oh, by the way, I don't even believe the allegations from Stormy Daniels. If you look at it, if you look at the little unit, well, why did they pay her $130,000? They had like a little unit that was kind of going to, they were authorized to do all kinds of things to defend Trump, right? If they didn't want some, you could have a story and it be false, but wouldn't it better to not have that false story out there? Apparently there is a picture of Donald Trump taking a picture with a porn star. If you're running for president, arguably, that's not the greatest thing in the world, arguably. Nobody cares anymore. Right? I don't care. And by the way, let's leave porn stars alone. Let's leave them alone. I'm not going to wag my finger judgmentally at a porn star. I don't think it's the best life for him or her. At the same time, Something tells me a lot of people are looking at porn. So there's that. Oh, so this unit, they were set up to basically kill stories no matter the veracity of the story or not. There was some doorman who worked at Trump Tower a number of years ago who claimed that Donald Trump, I think he fathered a child with some woman. It turned out to be total fake news. It was fake news. And it was a fake charge, but they still paid the guy $30,000 because they didn't want to deal with these kinds of things. I kind of understand that. If you wanted to at least attempt, don't people try to manage there? But they may have gotten too far, and it's not clear that Donald Trump knew about this stuff, knew about what they were doing. And that includes the audio tape from Michael Cohen. It'll be interesting to see how they handle what Trump just said. Again, he reiterated Mar-a-Lago is worth 50 to 100 times what the court said it was worth. And I noticed that nobody really goes there anymore from the left. They don't try to correct that Donald Trump is wrong on the facts. And I know there's a covenant out there, and he promised not to sell it as a private home, but as a club. The club would be worth more than a private home because the private club generates money. Well, this is great stuff. I'm very happy. And, you know, God has a sense of humor. He really does. Hey, the other stuff I wanted to touch on, it's not really a big deal, but Ronna Romney McDaniel, I almost felt sorry for her yesterday. She's the former Republican chief, and she quit that job. Donald Trump wanted her gone, and she's gone. And guess what? You get to do that when you're the Republican nominee. You get to appoint the leader of the Republican Party. I wish she had gotten rid of her a long time ago, because like most people in politics are in it for the wrong reasons. They're in it to enrich themselves. Mike Gallagher, anybody? You heard about that freak congressman? Did you guys get that TV commercial all set? I got a big TV commercial. This guy promised to do the right thing, and now he's quitting Congress to go make $1 billion at some private company. I'm so disgusted by this guy and what he did, and brings it down to a one vote majority. But back to Ronna Romney McDaniel. I can't tell if she's got a job at NBC News or not anymore. But this happened yesterday. Cut 22, please. Cut 22.
All right, well, let's talk about the election now. Donald Trump says one of his first acts, if he is reelected to a second term, would be, quote, to free those charged and convicted of crimes related to January 6th. Do you support that?
I want to be very clear. The violence that happened on January 6th is unacceptable. It doesn't represent our country. It certainly does not represent my party. We should not be attacking the Capitol. We should not be having violence. I said it that day. I put a statement out that day that this is not acceptable. If you attacked our Capitol and you've been convicted, then that should stay.
So then, but to the question though, do you disagree with Trump saying he's going to free those who've been charged?
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
So you disagree with that? He's been saying that for months. Ronna, why not speak out earlier? Why just speak out about that now?
When you're the RNC chair, you kind of take one for the whole team, right? Now I get to be a little bit more myself, right? This is what I believe. I don't think violence should be in our political discourse, Republican or Democrat. And I disagree with that. I agree with him on a whole host of other things. Let's close the border. Let's make sure we have good incomes for people. Let's make sure we do a lot of great things. But
isn't it amazing that somehow Republicans are on the defensive about January 6th when a unarmed woman was shot and killed by the police on January 6th? It's somehow they're always putting it to us to decry what happened. What about them? What about what they did? And yeah, I get it. Violence, you don't want violence. However, let's put things in perspective. I saw a lot of pushing and shoving. I saw a lot of pushing and shoving on January 6th. I didn't see, except for the murder of Ashley Babbitt, oh, by the way. So, and she said something there that the people who assaulted cops should not be free. Well, when are they going to be free? That's not a life sentence. Pushing and shoving happens. You know, there are people in New York City who firebomb police vehicles with cops in the vehicles who are walking the streets right now. And the judge apologized for sentencing him to prison. I admire you, your judicial activism. However, the way you did it was wrong. You think? Throwing a firebomb, a Molotov cocktail at police cars? It's amazing. You got to look it up. All these liberal judges, they were so apologetic when they sentenced them to house arrest. And, you know, there are people with criminal records in all walks of life right now. I used to think getting arrested was like a really, well, it's a bad thing. You don't want to be arrested. But I don't think it should be, you should be marked for life if you made a mistake. Whatever happened to second chances, whatever happened to forgiveness, whatever happened to rehabilitation, whatever happened to redemption, aren't all those things kind of cool? I think they are. You know, there are lots of people who joined the military to defend this country in World War II with criminal records. In Vietnam, same thing. To this day, I George W. Bush was arrested. He was, you know. He was arrested for drunk driving. So was Dick Cheney. I think Dick Cheney also took a swing at the cop. Anyway, everybody thinks that Ronna Romney McDaniel, I really don't care. I'm not a big fan of hers. I thought it was kind of, it turned me off that she was going to NBC News. But this self-righteousness, I can't tell if the bosses told them to say this or what. Chuck Todd, one of the biggest liars in the media today, self-righteous again like the rest of them. Who the hell talks about their boss like this? You know, everybody from time to time, if you're a human being, right, you grumble a little bit about the boss. I don't do it here, to be honest. I honestly don't. I got the best boss. I'm not just saying that. But I have worked at other places where you grumble about the boss. It's just kind of part of, you're allowed. I actually have honestly done very little about a little of that. Even when I didn't like the boss, I'm like, you know what? It beats not working. The boss can do what the hell he wants to do. He's the boss. Anyway, but Chuck Todd does not have that attitude. Chuck Todd, the NBC fake news guy, he used to host Meet the Press. Now they let Kristen Welker do it. She's even worse. Cut 20, please.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation. Because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. Mm. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? But once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party.
Hey, stop for a second. So, you know, all these questions could be asked of Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd himself. And I know something about him that very few people know. But he owns real estate. And that's fine if you want to diversify, right? You don't want to just rely on a paycheck from your boss. That's fine. And he rents out homes and apartments to tenants. And that's fine, too. More power to you. I love it. One of his tenants is Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat of Minnesota, who's been on that dumb show, who's been in debates that he's moderated. Was Chuck Todd asking questions as a landlord or as a journalist? Was he asking questions in a way that would perhaps not lead his tenant to, say, not sign another lease, right? He can push it, but only so far. It's amazing the leeway they give themselves. Maria, hello.
Hello, Greg. Thank you for taking my call. Happy Monday. First, I want to God bless you for always keeping the name of Ashley Babbitt out there. So many of my so-called Republican friends have absolutely no idea who she is. But what I wanted to talk to you about is I know that you encourage your listeners, like myself and you who are total supporting President Trump, to get involved, to write out checks to his campaign, to get involved in local politics, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm doing? I'm converting. Not a person's religion, which I would never do, But converting people who voted for Biden in 2020 to vote for President Trump in 2024. My goal by November the 5th is to get 10 people. And so far, I am proud to say I have 4 people who I have converted to our side. And you know what I do? 2 things. The first one is the hardest. Having a grown-up conversation with somebody on the left, which is totally impossible, but I've done it. And what I do, and second, asking them 2 questions. And the first question is, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago under President Trump? And 3 things that Biden has done to make this country, your community, or your family safer. And that's it.
You know, Maria, that's amazing. That is so amazing and cool. Very, very good.
Do it. Got to do it because you
However, you said you got 4 down and you got 6 to go to make 10.
I could do it.
No. How about 10,000? How about 100,000? Here's
you
what I'm saying. Hold on, Maria. This is about you right now. You speak with such clarity and power, and you could go on social media, you, Maria, in Short Hills, New Jersey, and start making that case. You have a much broader audience within your grasp, okay, within your reach. And I'm telling you, you lay it out like that on social, you, Maria, you could move New Jersey from blue to red. You and you alone. I'm telling you, you are onto something. I'm only saying you've got to set your sights and your goals much, much higher. Now, I understand that comes, that's a bit of a pain in the neck, but you know what? Anybody can figure out Twitter. Anybody can figure out TikTok if they want to, or Instagram. All right? Do it.
I think I'll do it, Greg.
Do it. It's amazing. You can do it. Right? I feel it. I want you to fire up that, figure it out. I want you to get on all those accounts, and you are going to be a superstar, and you just might save this country. You, Maria, and all of our listeners, join her. But I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. All right. Be right back.
Greg Kelly. Listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
A couple of housekeeping details here we haven't gotten to yet, but Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Republican of Louisiana, I am not on board with removing this guy. I think that'll be just one great big disaster, and we just can't do it. It can't be done. Effectively, right now, the Republicans are not in control of the agenda, the legislative agenda. You can't be that way with just one vote. It's just, but there are certain advantages to having a speaker who's not crazy. I don't like this multi-trillion-dollar budget, no way, filled with pork, all kinds of stuff that we want out of it, but we just don't have the votes. We don't have the votes, and there are too many weak Republicans there. And changing Mike Johnson at this point, it's just not right. I like Marjorie Taylor Greene a lot. She came up with the idea, but she came up with another idea I can really embrace. She wants to expel Congressman Mike Gallagher. Now, who is Mike Gallagher? Up until about a month ago, I thought he was a pretty squared away guy. He's youngish. He's in his 30s. He's a Republican from Wisconsin. He's got real expertise in national security affairs, happens to have been an officer in the Marine Corps, very articulate, strong. I thought he knew what he was doing, and he probably did. But now he is selling out his constituents and selling out his country, selling out his party. You know, this is one of those guys. He's quitting the Congress. He's quitting. Now, he's only 16 months into a 24-month term. He got there first in 2017. That's fine. He got reelected a couple of times. Well, he was most recently reelected in November of 2022, barely have a majority, and he's quitting now. And listen to what an egomaniac ham he is. All of these politicians. He's going to make a gazillion dollars working for Silicon Valley. And here he is back when he wanted people to like him in Wisconsin, talking about how much he loves Wisconsin. He just couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. Go ahead with that Mike Johnson thing, if you don't mind. Mike Johnson, Congressman, no more. Go ahead. Huh? Oh, shoot.
You got a good paying job? The next
week, Mike Gallagher.
It's gone.
Destroyed by politicians who stack the deck against us, or foreign countries that break the rules. As a Marine, I was taught to leave no one behind. I'm Mike Gallagher, and I'll fight to keep good jobs right here in Wisconsin. Crack down on China when they cheat. Because when the playing field is level, Wisconsin workers win. I'm Mike Gallagher, and I approve this message.
Mike Gallagher, he's a big... Mike Gallagher, not Johnson. Sorry, Johnson, I like you. Not Mike Gallagher. Woo! What a ham. Like most of them. Now he's headed to Money City.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.